Yeah, I don't know if you heard the last episode. I kind of screwed up a little bit. I said I was going to use the Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah,
and I ended up using Gremlins. Yes. Yeah. So that's why our intro music to this, our actual Christmas episode,
is
going to be the Edward Scissorhands. Because what happened was, I don't know what the deal with the recording was. Mm-hmm. The recording itself was perfect, but for whatever reason. And it was all MP3, but like the software that I used to mix down the shows, it was not liking the
really?
So it's like I'd started it like 6 seconds in to kind of have the crossfade, and it would cut to like 30 seconds in. So it was just kind of like,
weird, really?
It was bizarre.
But it's weird.
My computer gets weird whenever I have to install Dropbox. Are you familiar with Dropbox?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it doesn't like my computer. So It makes weird little... Anyway, the computer's haunted. We heard gremlins at the end. we'll hear actual, you know, haunted Christmas music at the end of this one. But, excuse me. But,
decided to bring this guy, too.
Ah, you don't like that guy.
Not too much. This is the one that I want to do the commission on. With the guys in the Jeep watching Swamp Thing whip his ass. I thought that'd be cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I do have some Man Thing I've ended up with.
I've never read... I've read Swamp Thing. I've never read him.
I've read a few of them. The first appearance was, of course, in Howard the Duck. And the next thing you know, he's here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. It's a Wolverine appearance for him.
Comics Presents. So, welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone.
This is a Scary Dad podcast number 11. We're going to entitle this one Black Christmas. Episode drops on December 26th. So, at this point, you should probably be just a little bit hungover, full of turkey and whatever else your family eats, full of rum and bourbon and beer and all the other libations.
All the other goodies, yes.
So, Merry Christmas to all. How was yours?
It was quiet. I usually handle Christmas the weekend after with my kids. So, as my son describes it, the South Park scene where Cartman is having the tea party with all his stuffed animals.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty much what my Christmas is every year. So. How are you, Polly Pissy Pants?
Well, we do sort of the same routine every year. We do a family Christmas with my folks here in town, and then we go to Seguin, where my wife's family's from. And depending on the weather and how people are getting along that year, we stay a day or two or whatever. So. We're actually, as you're listening to this podcast, I'm actually somewhere either in Seguin or San Antonio or somewhere in between on the 26th because, you know, that's what's going on. But I'll let you guys know in the podcast forum there how it's actually going in real time. Oftentimes I end up in a corner a little bit bored playing with my phone, as we all do. So
that's the way it usually works, man. Eventually you get to that point.
But anyway, man, Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Merry Christmas.
You know, I was at the store and I was buying stuff for other people, and something hopped out at me and don't know where it went. Hold on a second.
Seriously. We're rifling through cabinets of this stuff.
We're rifling through cabinets. There we go. That one is for you from Scary Dad.
Thank you very much, bud.
And,
let's see what we got here. I already got my Swamp Thing book. Yeah.
I knew you needed one of those, like a hole in the head. Oh,
sweet. Yes. It's yes, because I don't have very many Jason Voorhees sitting on my desk. This is awesome, bud. Appreciate it, man.
Well, that one can stand next to your bag head and G.I. Joe one.
Okay, yes. Yeah, that would be perfect size.
They're the same size.
Yep.
So...
this is awesome. I'm sure you saw the doll I made for my daughter the other night.
That was badass.
She just walked around all weekend just saying that she was Jason Voorhees and refused to take the mask off. Just
there's nothing wrong with aspirations.
It was a plastic machete she had, so she couldn't do much damage with it. So
I've seen some damage with a plastic machete. We're going to take a page because it is the holidays and everybody... loves to drink on the holidays. We're taking a page out of our buddies over at Dudes and Beer and drinking some libation. This one isn't really necessarily horror themed.
No.
I was at Specs and I was looking for something horror themed and nothing really popped out. But this is from Nebraska Brewing Company, the Brunette Nut Brown Ale. And I really thought the top looks really cool.
Yeah,
it's reminiscent of the old stock cans, and you know,
reminds me of Mickey's Wide Mouth.
I don't know if you've had the Bombshell Blonde. It's a blonde ale.
I want to say I have,
And it's tasty, but I prefer brunettes and I prefer dark beers. So.
Cheers to you! Happy holidays!
Happy holidays!
And to all you out there also, hope you guys are having a great one.
So
nice and smooth, I like that.
So we've got a pretty decent sized history segment today. And for what it's worth, our podcast today is a little, I don't want to say non-directed because it's Christmas related, but we're not focusing on a specific topic. We're going to talk about Christmas related things, Christmas memories, Christmas ghost stories, Christmas... whatever we feel like talking about, just as it occurs to us, as it comes up. So the history segment might run long because there's quite a few things on it. So I'm going to turn the magazine over here, and you start there at the top.
Okay. In 1846, while trapped in the snow in Sierra Nevada without food, the Donner Party resorts to cannibalism. You know very well. Many jokes have been made of the Donner Party. The one that sticks out the most was a Robin Williams joke in one of the movies he had. I don't remember which one it was, but he had a skeleton sitting there and he raised the hand and goes, Donner Party of Seven, Donner Party of Seven.
Yeah, that's... that's that first driving through the mountains scene in The Shining.
Yeah.
Where Wendy asked Jack, she's like, well, wasn't the Donner Party up in here? he says, I think that was a little bit further north. And the little kid's like, oh, I know about the Donner Party. They had to eat each other to survive. And Wendy was like, you know, that's, you shouldn't know about those things. He's like, it's okay, Mama, I saw it on TV. And Jack's like, that's all right, honey. He saw it on the television. And that's just one of those things that I always remember. It's like somehow it's okay.
Right.
If you saw it on TV.
Nowadays it would be Wikipedia. It's on Wikipedia, you know it's true. Okay. In 1862, very interesting, then dark point of history, the largest mass hanging in American history occurred, where 38 Native Americans were killed.
Right.
That is rough.
That is rough. And so, of course, I clicked the link on that one. And basically, there was a uprising of the Dakota Indians in and around, it was in Minnesota and Iowa. And they were rampaging. They were killing, they were attacking towns and forts and everything. And the U.S. Army was tied up with Civil War maneuvers. I mean, they were moving troops around for the Civil War in 1862.
Right.
So help didn't come quickly. And the Dakotas pretty much laid waste to a significant part of Minnesota and Iowa. And when Lincoln finally did dispatch troops, 200 of them. I mean, they battled them. They took them down pretty quick, and 200 of them were captured and sentenced to death. The president commuted all but...
With 38.
The third, yeah. So, actually, he commuted 39, but one of them... anyway, basically, one of them managed to get a last-minute reprieve. There was supposed to be 39, but okay. 38. And the 38 were killed were pretty much the worst of the worst. Like, and then a little interesting side note on this. One of them, one of the ones that was hanged, back then, it was very difficult to acquire bodies for medical history, for medical science.
Mm-hmm.
One of the bodies was, several of the bodies, but one of them in particular was claimed by... I don't know his first name, but you've heard of the Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
Dr. Mayo.
What kind of research would you want to do on the...
Cadaver surgery.
Okay. Okay.
There's this whole big thing. If you listen to the Lore podcast, it's really bizarre. This was more in England, but grave robbing was a really big problem back in the day because for medical, for cadaver research...
There weren't donor cards on the back of the driver's license.
It was illegal, regardless of donors, it was illegal to use a cadaver for medical science unless they were hanged criminals.
Okay.
Or one other condition.
I'm sure there's some kind of religious background.
Well, it was just the law.
Okay.
And so what it ended up causing was a whole lot of grave robbing. So if you go around Europe and a lot of places... They have these cages and stuff. They have, like, the caskets are built, like, overbuilt and sunk in concrete and cages. And pop culture makes it look like it's vampires. But in reality, it was to keep grave robbers from stealing bodies. so, at that kind of, like, mid-1800s, when medical science, when... We look at it now and we think of them as very backwards. But this was on the tail end of the Enlightenment and... Mm-hmm. You know, it's the Industrial Revolution, and really the quickening of knowledge was about to occur right there in that Victorian era, and they were thirsting, but they needed bodies to
experiment to research on.
But anyway, Dr. Mayo claimed one of these bodies and had a skeleton that he used for, like, basically teaching medical science from one of these Indians that got hung in the...
It's pretty crazy,
and then the family didn't donate it, but the family brought the skeleton back to the Dakota people for proper burial, like a couple hundred years later.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty interesting.
Yeah, it is. And you know, when I look at the number that were done at once, you know, you got to think that that was kind of a way of sending a message to the next group. They might be thinking about it, you know. That
well, you know, but that was 1862.
Subjugation to fear, you know.
That was 1862. Custer's last stand. Custer was a decorated Civil War hero, and it was after the Civil War.
Right.
So they were. I mean, not to get into you can speak about a group of warriors as capable and either ruthless or mean or whatever. Without bringing the politics as to why
what brought them to that point,
you know, it's like the Mongols were brilliant tacticians and wonderful fighters and evil,
yeah,
you know, just straight up mean. But you can separate the fact that, man, they were really good at what they did, without saying that they were really good.
Yeah,
yeah. The Indians were pushed, man. They were. In all ways, and even now, they're still getting pushed around.
Oh yeah, yeah. So like I said, subjugation. It just,
you know,
keeping a foot on the neck until somebody breaks is pretty much what point has gotten to today. You know,
yeah.
That say my, you know, just my family tree. I'm two generations removed from the reservation. Back home, you know, but my family actually got kicked off the reservation back in the day. So
oh, did they?
Yeah, they were just too rowdy. They couldn't handle them on there, and until they had to leave. This is pretty crazy, dude. There's no record of them being in there.
You've told me these stories, and you're kind of a laid-back guy, so it's kind of...
Yeah. Nowadays, I am. I've gotten to that point. But on my mom's side of the family is where they have... Oh, dude, the stories. Jesus Christ. I got family that's been in the mental institutions after killing a whole bunch of people and stuff. And there's some wackadoo shit that goes on certain parts of my family lineage.
Just keep drinking those brunettes, man. Just calm down.
Okay, now let's move on to a little more of a, I wouldn't say uplifting because it kind of, but not quite as dark.
Right.
Let's put it that way. 1919, the curse of the Bambino begins. Babe Ruth is sold to the Yankees, and Boston does not win a World Series until 2004. And kind of... set them down and put a dampener on them there.
Yeah. No, you know, that's one of those interesting things. You know, of course, I read the history stuff as I'm going through. I make my notes. But apparently the Boston Red Sox won multiple titles and were in World Series and, like, just killing
it. Yeah, they're a beast, yeah.
And then as soon as Babe Ruth transferred, they fell right into the shitter. And the Yankees, who had not been a very good team before,
right,
went up and... Excuse me. I don't follow baseball, but I know Babe Ruth.
Oh yeah,
that's how.
Everybody does. This is interesting that it happened now, but in 1941, Thanksgiving was made a national holiday. I think it would have popped up in November, but what's the story behind that? Why was it a little off? Were they not sure what day they were going to do it before, or?
Well, and this is not actually on the Wikipedia, but I've heard a couple of different things about. Essentially, Thanksgiving was a Yankee holiday. It was celebrated in the North and not so much in the South, historically.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Civil War and in kind of into Restoration and stuff, there was quite a few people who moved from the North to the South to, you know, there's always been a whole lot of people moving back and forth. But when the South's economy was in shambles, there was opportunists who came down here. And they brought these traditions with them, just like with anything. And so, essentially, it was kind of a sore point for Southerners. If you celebrated Thanksgiving, you were not from here and you aren't one of us. And that was kind of a historical... just the way it had been.
Yeah.
And... slowly, it started to kind of gain
momentum.
But it was Pearl Harbor, basically.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
Essentially, I mean, by World War One, a lot of the old enmity had gone away. The generations had passed. You know, there was no longer any survivors from the Civil War anymore.
Yeah.
So the following generations, it was like, okay, well, we're all Americans, you know. Because, you know, one of the biggest catalysts for the Civil War itself was the fact that there was nobody thought of themselves as Americans. They thought of themselves as members of their state.
Yeah.
You were a New Yorker, a Pennsylvanian, or a Texan, or a Mississippian. You weren't an American.
Right.
And that's what all these different militias from all these different states were able to gather up under a banner. So when we think of a concept like a secession or a civil war, a lot of that's just like lip service to a bygone era that people thought differently back then.
Yeah.
And the world was a lot smaller as far as the world was a lot bigger in scope, but it was a lot smaller. Like,
yeah, more, reality, your reality,
people thought locally.
Yeah.
They didn't think nationally. There wasn't a nationalism. It was very, very small, close-knit. So if somebody insulted Florida, you didn't give a shit.
Right.
If somebody, you know, insulted Texas, you didn't give a shit. When they start talking about invading Texas, you gun up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody blows up a base on the other side of the world, everybody starts gunning up because we're all Americans.
It's patriotism.
But that's a whole different way of thinking that wasn't there.
Well, it's
but World War One or World War Two, when Pearl Harbor happened, FDR announced because Pearl Harbor happened on December 7th.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So now this Thanksgiving, it will be a national holiday. We'll all celebrate it together as Americans. No more back and forth bullshit.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I fully expected after 9/11 that a national holiday would have been made behind that to commemorate that tragedy. I was waiting for it. I'm surprised it never was.
December 7th isn't a national holiday.
I mean, but celebrate that. Thanksgiving came from it. Yeah. You know what I mean? As a way of, so I'm surprised something possibly didn't come out. Just to keep that momentum going, keep that that feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's gone. Yeah. I'll drink to that. Just to numb it a little bit. Okay, I remember this one very well. Actually, 1991, the Soviet Union was finally dissolved. And still to this day stands as it. As the results of that day, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that Red Dawn was probably, you know, we're doing a scary movie podcast. Red Dawn was scary as hell.
Yeah. Shit, oh, yeah. Nightmares. Dude. Yes. Just imagine sitting in school and, you know, all of a sudden you see parachutes coming down.
Yeah.
You don't know where it's coming from. You think it's kind of cool, and they start shooting everybody.
Well, and, you know, you grew up in the South, and, you know, so, like, I grew up either here in Houston or down in Corpus. You know, one of the biggest things about Red Dawn that makes it unfeasible is that the enemy could get that far in without anybody really knowing.
Right.
They would be here in our They hit that chip channel.
That would be the first place they hit.
You know, you look historically, where did the British take out New Orleans first? The Union took out New Orleans first. They ported in Galveston. They ported in Port Isabel down in Brownsville. Like, they hit these ports all along the coast. The Confederate States had a garrison in New Orleans the whole time. Like, the whole war.
Yeah.
The Union, you know, so if you're living there and you just see ships out on the beach, you know, out on the horizon, you're like, huh, who's that? Done.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're maybe not going to happen in Colorado.
Well, we used to, when I worked offshore.
So I used to know that. I used to be a kid and be like, fuck, if they landed here, I'd be shit off.
When I used to work offshore, we used to think about that when I worked offshore because, you know, we're out in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico and it was a channel right where we were, where all the, when the larger military ships were coming through, they passed right by our rig and stuff. And we used to say, you know, if somebody wanted to attack, we can come start taking over these rigs out here and, you know, really screw some shit up.
Oh, yeah. I remember being a kid and just asking my dad, like, because I didn't know, you know, it's like I'm a little kid in the 80s or whatever.
I get chills when I see that scene.
Oh, yeah. But I asked my dad, I'm like, dude, what is going on? Like, what is up with the Russians? Like, and he's just like, I don't know. We used to have to get under our desks. Like, atomic war was something that was very, very real to you and I, much less to our parents. But and then whenever the wall fell, whenever the Soviet Union collapsed, he didn't trust it.
Right.
He's just like, they're going to come back somehow.
Well, I thought the same thing.
And now we've got all this shit going on, you know, with Russia that, like, I can't figure out why anybody would want to poke that bear. Literally, like, they're the Russian bear. Like, why would you want to poke it?
Just they're doing their thing. They're, you know, just trying to exist and make their money. And
let them do their thing. That's not appeasement. That's just like, again, you know, you see a bunch of wasps out there, you don't go out and poke it with a stick. That's stupid.
Okay, I'll let you go ahead and do the birthdays.
All right. Back, sticking with that communism theme, in 1893, Mao Zedong. This is his birthday. The guy who killed most of China. Or not most of it, but a good chunk. So then we're going to get off the truly horrific and just go to what's next is in 1963, the world gave us Lars. Master.
Me and my kids were doing a Metallica history lesson a couple days ago, just going through. And I was explaining to them exactly when, at what point, they kind of changed. And I kind of veered away from Metallica, and, you know, and I was talking to actually a friend of ours last night. His dad was a pastor, and he said growing up, his dad would want to listen to the music he was listening to just to make sure it wasn't anything he shouldn't be listening to. And he was very selective with the songs that he would play. Like, for Metallica, he wouldn't play Master of Puppets. He'd go with some of the more laid-back stuff. Uh-huh. So, okay, that's fine. You can go ahead and listen to that.
Yeah.
But they used to be, they were just, They were metal at one time.
You know, and that's what's so funny, and we talked about it in our metal episode, is, you know, so it's so much with just getting to know people and getting to know what you're after. But, you know, like I told you, I was in that little private Christian school, and they showed us the video, and you're like supposed to be scared, and then you get and you're like, oh my God, you know, Ozzy's got that record cover where he's got the jelly in his mouth, yeah, just bitten the head off of it. And then you get into it, and like Metallica was singing about the horrors of drugs. They weren't glorifying drugs. Master right. of Puppets is about a crippling cocaine addiction. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne is mostly singing about the horrors of war. Motley Crue is singing about girls, which, you know, are subversive in their own way, but they're certainly not the devil.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, you know, Christian or Muslim or anything, everybody's after the brunette. So, you know, it's like so much of it that you think of it as subversive just because the beat's driving, but...
Right, well...
I love these tops, dude. That is so cool.
But it makes the beer go down a lot faster with the larger hole. So.
It does. We better get out of the history segment soon so we can talk about
it. I was talking to somebody today. We were listening to Metallica. That's why I got it on in the car when I drove up. Not Metallica, Pantera, what am I saying? And I was like, you know, if you listen to this song, you probably can't understand a damn thing that Anselmo was singing. Because he's yelling, you know, he's putting it out there. But if you listen to the words, it's pretty deep shit they're singing about. Mm-hmm. And it was Drag the Waters, which, you know, is about, you know, a privileged kid that his dad doesn't realize just how bad this kid is because he keeps getting him out of trouble. But if he dug a little deeper into his psyche, he'd see he was an evil ass kid.
Uh-huh.
And you know, that's what the song is actually about. But just the way it's presented in that metal. If you're not into it, you will never know that that song actually has some meaning to it.
Right.
And a lot of those artists, you know, their songs are very deep. They had a lot of meaning to them, but for the majority of people, they didn't listen to that kind of music. They just kind of...
You throw it off because of maturity. Yeah. You think that the people who listen to it are immature. And it's interesting because I'm sure you've seen this because I'm a musician. I know a lot of people that were musicians. And, you know, it's like the guys who are always like the most... death metal, like black t-shirt wearing with the logos that you couldn't read because they were just so stylized, scrawled out. Those guys were always classical musicians.
Yeah.
It's like I have a buddy named Rob, and basically he didn't like anything unless it was like classical, like we're talking like Paganini and, you know, Vivaldi type stuff, or heavy dark.
Yeah.
And then whenever you take the heavy dark and you slow it down, it's all classical lines and it's very complex.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sped up and then syncopated. And
look at the movie Crossroads. I hate, you know, it might be kind of a goofy example, but at the end, he turns to his classical side. And uh-huh. That's what really sets him apart, man. Right. He speeds it up. Just like you said, he speeds it up and he just makes it his own. But it all comes from that classical music background.
But, you know, to sit down and have the patience to learn that and to come out, and a lot of these kids are like teenagers that can just peel off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just insane. So, all right, dude. So we got one more birthday. 1966 is Mr. Jay Younger from White Zombie.
Yes. Interesting tidbit I found out the other day.
What's that?
Rob Zombie, okay, before they had their big hit and everything, he worked as a production assistant on the Pee Wee Herman show. I never knew that.
It doesn't surprise me, dude. Everybody who was of any sort of creative anything was on that show at some point or another.
He was a production assistant for Pee Wee Herman show. I found that really, really cool. Because it's, I mean, Paul Rubens is a genius, dude.
Oh,
the stuff he came up with, you know. I hate that, you know, his career kind of got screwed over by that incident. But the way I look at it, what else are you supposed to do there? You know, it's just a ridiculous victimless crime that he was, that just tore that man's career down.
It really did. And I don't think it really would, because it wouldn't have if he wasn't on a kid's show.
Yeah.
Because...
it wouldn't have the same effect.
Original Pee Wee Herman stuff was pretty subversive.
Well, yeah. I mean, the original Pee Wee Herman show came from the stage production.
Right.
That was for adults.
If he didn't have a kid's show, it probably wouldn't affect him as bad, but he did have a kid's show. I feel for him too. I mean, that shit should not have happened. No. But
because he's actually a good actor. I don't know if you ever saw him in Blow.
Oh yeah, I've seen him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he's for all the Cheech and Chong movies he was in. I mean, he was. It's just sad to see, you know.
He's made he's. Did you see his comeback show a couple years ago?
Yeah, on
the HBO. That was really good.
Yeah, but well, you know, my kids. I had the box set of Pee Wee's Playhouse for my son. By the time he was 2 years old, you know, I was like, "Here you go." Uh-huh. And they both love Pee Wee. They got all the movies at home and everything. They make sure because and my son, of course, you know, he had a friend of his that came and told him what Pee Wee did and everything back in the day. And I was like, "Just don't worry about that. It's funny. He's funny. He's a talented guy. Just enjoy it."
Well, halfway through the show, we're now right through our history segment. Not a bad way to start off.
Not a
bad way to finish the year. Like I said, this is kind of an unaimed show, so we could go at any time. We could end it.
Okay, I got one for it. As a child, what gift stands out the most? What toy was the... that you remember like it was yesterday?
Man, you know, we talked about whenever I discovered He-Man, like that was substantial. But I tell you what, and it's funny because you brought over these stormtroopers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, guys, what happened is I took my daughter to see Rogue One the other day, and she is all about Star Wars. She's just thrown by Star Wars. She loves it. The cool thing about Rogue One is it happens in timeline about hours before Star Wars starts.
Yep.
So the stormtroopers are not stylized. They're not stupid prequel Star Wars, and they're not Force Awakens. They're the ones from the originals. And there's a lot of them. And so I went and bought her Jen Erso, the main character of Force Awakens of Rogue One, and wanted to get her some stormtroopers, but they're damn expensive. So I asked Scott, he's got some for sale. I asked him to bring me over some, and he did. I'm gonna buy a few so she has an army. The thing that stands out, when I was a kid, I loved G.I. Joes. And one year, my mom put out the feelers to all the family and was like, oh, he likes G.I. Joes. So they all just gave G.I. Joes. So I had all these wrapped action figures. So kind of slid horizontally into the tree. So, you know, I was pulling them out and opening them up. Well, I think out of maybe 20 Joes, I mean, it was a banter year, right? But out of 20 Joes, maybe 10 of them were that red crimson elite trooper. And my mom was like so upset. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't tell them specifics. You know, I'll take them back and we'll trade them in for different guys. And I immediately tore them open. I was like, no, I have an army. Like, I've been wanting an army. I had two Vipers, like the Black Mask Vipers.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had to keep cycling them through, you know? The guy came in and shot down five of them. I had to, like, recreate five different deaths with those guys. So that was the thing that stands out. Like, I have a lot of them, but that was a great Christmas. How about you, man?
The toy that I'll never forget, for one reason, is kind of just a messed up reason. It was the last toy I got from my dad for Christmas. But also, when it came in, my dad died in January. It was the 1982 Godzilla with the flying hand. You, like, press the button and his hand would go flying out and stuff. And,
did your dad pass in 82?
83.
Okay.
That January. So that December 82 is when I got it. And the UPS man brought all these boxes, and we didn't have a fireplace or anything. I was 9 years old, and I told my dad, I said, hey, what are these packages? And my dad explained to me that Santa Claus actually used UPS to deliver packages to people that didn't have fireplaces. Nice. And that one just stands out in my memory. I'd love to find another one of those Godzillas today.
I had that too.
They're expensive as hell now.
We probably got cheap. It the same year.
They're not cheap. Another thing I remember about that toy is the hand was kind of heavy. That flew out, and I broke my parents' window, throwing it at my sister, trying to nail her, but she had made me mad. I threw it across the room.
I had the exact same Godzilla.
That was an awesome toy.
And probably, that's why they're so expensive, is because if you remember, there's a little red tab on the back that you pulled his tongue out.
Yeah.
Got him out of the box, opened him up, pushed the button, shot his hand off, and then broke that little red tab off. It was just kind of sticking off the back, and I didn't know it, you know. It's like I didn't grab it and break it. I just kind of grabbed him, and it snapped off. I'm like, oh, wait. So forever I had the Godzilla, but his tab was such that just a little tiny piece stuck out of the slot.
You can still do it a little bit.
I could still stick his tongue out with the fire.
That was a great toy, though, man. That was a...
Oh, man.
It was huge Godzilla.
He went up against everybody. Yeah. I mean, it took a lot to bring him down. Megatron could take him down. Megatron had
The blaster
on his arm. Megatron was hard to play with, though.
Yeah, I know, man. I got the one now that I was playing with a couple weeks ago. I liked this toy. Because, you know, I'll go back to Soundwave. Soundwave was so simple, you know, and his transformation and everything. And the cassettes were just so cool with the little handles and stuff. To this day, I still think that's the best Transformer there was.
He was. Everybody likes Optimus Prime. And it's like, as far as the character goes, yeah, he's badass.
Yeah.
But as far as the Transformers go, Soundwave.
If only it would have actually played micro cassettes. That would have been so cool.
I mean, I'm trying to think, because nobody's arms and legs moved like his did.
Yeah.
You know, it was part of his transformation, but you could actually pose him and move his arm up and down and stuff. Perceptor, the microscope, was kind of a clone.
Yeah.
He was the same way. He could do that. I was a spoiled kid, man. I had all the He-Man, I had all the G.I. Joes, I had, you know. But the funny thing, you said, you know, like best. So one year, me and my cousins were both just big G.I. Joe fans. And there was this big package under the tree. And we didn't know what it was because we knew all the boxes. Like, we knew the Rattler was this big. And we knew the Sky Striker was this big. And this box was... What is this? But we both had one.
Was it real big?
No, it was about this big.
Okay.
But when we finally tore it open, it was like these knockoff... You know how you'll have Space Command figures and Walgreens.
Was it Star Wars?
No, it was a knockoff. It was like a drugstore knockoff, you'd see at CVS or something. But man, it was three different craft, and they were actually pretty well made. They weren't. I mean, they had a little cockpit, and you know, little missiles and stuff. It was quote unquote cheap knockoff, like the kind of stuff you would again buy at CVS.
Yeah.
But they were badass, because your G.I. Joe men fit in there just perfectly in the canopy shut, and they were just the right size that, you know, you could fly two of them without those were fun. And I remember opening them and being like, "What is this?" You know, I'm like a little brat, probably 8 or 9 years old, what is this? And they're like, oh, wait, this is actually pretty cool.
When I first saw StarCorps, because by the time that came out, that line of G.I. Joes came out, I wasn't into them anymore. So I just recently saw them a year ago. I thought it was dollar store toys. And then I priced them, and I was like, holy crap, where the hell did this stuff come from? Because that's when I found out it was the Space G.I. Joes line that they came up with.
Yeah.
And, it was weird. I was about to throw them away. I was going to give them away.
Be careful with that, man.
I'll learn my lesson.
The comic book store, I guess Black Friday sale, and in their bins, they, you know, 50 cents or 25 cents or whatever it was for Black Friday, and just flipping through. And It's like, oh, this is the first cameo of Doomsday, you know, from Superman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, you know, I don't think I have that one for, you know, 50 cents. What the hell? I think it's like a $5 book, if that,
right.
Maybe. I don't, again, don't care.
Kind of cool. That's not the reason you buy it, so.
Kind of throw it into my, and because I know I don't have it, and yeah. I have the other, so let me throw down on it. Then I get home, and I notice it's got this little Roman numeral 2 up there. So I open it up in second print. I'm like, do I want to keep this? Like, is that, you know, collection wise? Like, no, I'm not big on second printings or whatever. That's good. Let me throw it up on eBay. So I'm too lazy to like take a picture and list. So I just find a clone of it. The second print's worth more than the first.
It's a lot of times that happens, because what happens is it had a lower run number.
Mm-hmm.
They only printed so many of them. Because the Star Wars second prints, I think it's the second prints, they're worth a shitload.
I got a bunch of those at Black Friday, too. I've got quite a few Star Wars.
The 1, 2, and 3 in the second print are worth a ton of money, a lot more than the first.
Wow.
So it's
it
happens.
I'm waiting for that one thing that I don't care about to hit so I can sell it and buy other things. Because I buy stuff for my own collection. Because I enjoy having it,
right.
And the fact that it's expensive, it just kind of pisses me off, because I don't want to spend that much money on it. It's not worth that much to me.
Yeah.
But if I find it and it happens to be that much, and I got it for a quarter, then I'm like, sweet.
You know, actually, normally I keep my private collection in the back. You know, whenever people come over shopping, I made the mistake of bringing out some items of the day, and old Bob Camacho over there at Nerds of Anarchy convinced me to sell him one of my Blade figures.
Oh.
Which are, they're not too easy. I had an extra one though, so I went ahead and sold it to him. But you just don't want to part with those things, man.
Dude, let's talk about the Nerds of Anarchy, man. It's the end of the year, it's Christmas time. I gotta tell you, I was on so many different weird forums, not weird forums, but just different online forums. All I wanted to do was talk about things that I liked. And every time, it seems like there's some sort of street cred that comes with just hating everything. Everything sucks. Every movie sucks. This sucks. Nothing's as good as it used to be, but even then it was should have been better. Fucking, it's exhausting being a fan of shit. Then I found Nerds of Anarchy, and everybody likes stuff.
Yep.
And even if you don't happen to like the same stuff that they like,
you don't rip on somebody.
Nobody's ripping on them.
Right. You're allowed to like what you want.
You know, and people talk about movies civilly. It's like, I love this movie. I didn't like this movie. They both explain why they loved it and why they hated it in the same comment thread. And if anybody gets uppity, Bob takes them out,
yeah.
Which is fucking awesome. But yeah, I've been a member of that group for like a year and a half, and it's like, can't be happier. Like,
yeah, it's very well run, and it's a good group of people. That's the coolest thing. No, we can't get into it about CGC and CBCS, but even after that, just move on and go to the next thing.
Well, you know, you have differences of opinions.
And people respect those opinions.
No, nobody's pushing them on you. They just enjoy their things. But I've never made more real life friends
from the
internet than I have off of that, you know. So, hey guys, Merry Christmas. Shout out to the nerds. We're going to forget some folks, but you know, to Bob, to Abraham, Gerardo, Tony,
Andy, Oliver,
Chunk, Donald, Chunk,
Harambe.
Damn,
somebody asked me last night, they said there's no way that's his real name.
Damien
Wayne. Just the Damien Wayne part.
I don't know.
There's apparently a character from...
Well, it is a character from Batman.
Yeah. And they said that there's no way. I said, it's possible. I had a filter hand offshore once that his name was Bruce Wayne. Then we called him Batman as a nickname.
Yeah, it's... We'll find out.
And Samuel, did we mention Samuel?
The list goes on, man.
Yeah, if anybody isn't a member of Nerds of Anarchy, jump on there.
Joshua,
check it out.
Josh,
Jeremy, just everybody. Justin, there's a ton of folks on there. Rusty, oh boy, Rusty Show.
It's a good group. If you're listening to us now and you're not and you're any kind of fandom, comic book related or not. you know, hit up the Nerds of Anarchy.
It's a great place to discuss things, to find things you want to buy or trade, to you know, sell things that you want to get rid of. It's a great place.
So anyway, what's your least favorite thing to get at Christmas time?
So, well, growing up was clothes, of course.
Of course, it's clothes.
There was one sweatshirt I got one year. It was a Scooby-Doo with a football sweatshirt. That was the only piece of clothing I ever enjoyed. But a funny clothing memory, the worst gift I ever got. I was in high school. I was a junior in high school. And my grandmother gave me some socks that she made. And I don't know if you've ever seen knitted socks, but they're about a half inch thick. They're ridiculous. And they have like line patterns in them. So one day I'm going to school and I go to get dressed and I see the only pair of socks I have clean are my knitted grandma socks, which I had never worn before. So I'm thinking I'll throw them on. You know, I'm wearing jeans today. Nobody's going to see them. Well, I forgot that when you sit down, your pants come up. And I got ribbed on the entire day for having my puffy socks on that day. It was just ridiculous. And I never wore them again. I got rid of them after that.
Yeah, my mom, you know, shout out to mom, but my mom would always, like, my grandmother was high end. Like, she would shop at, like, Neiman Marcus and stuff. When you're 6, 7, 8 years old, you don't care about Neiman Marcus, you know. My grandmother would get me stuff, and my grandmother had 2 sons, my dad and my Uncle Ron. My grandmother was built for having girls. She should have had girls. I'm sure she dressed my dad and my uncle up into all kinds of stuff. But, man, I remember, like, having to go stand at, like, Neiman Marcus. And my grandmother, like, dressed me up in these little pink monkey suits and stuff. And you're just like, you know, I'm not saying that I'm cool enough to be like, what the hell, Grandma, when I was, like, 9. But I'm cool enough to be like, pink is not my color, Grandma. I don't care if it is Easter. Like, I'm not, I don't want to wear this.
But of course,
my mom's standing there being like, you know, it's charity for her. Like, my grandmother's buying it. She's not going to be like, well,
right.
You know, my mom's not going to have an opinion. My grandmother's bankrolling the whole thing. So I just get to sit here and get poked on. Yeah, dude, we go see my grandmother on Christmas time. And I know, like, now it's funny because I tease my own kids. But back then, like, I never thought of it until I was grown. And then I'm like, well, you guys suck. Because we'd get there. My step-grandfather, like, different family traditions. So my dad's dad passed away shortly before my dad and mom got married. Or yeah. Before my mom and dad met, but, like, within a year or so. So by the time I came along, my grandmother had moved on and remarried. By the time I was old enough to realize what was going on, this other dude was grandpa. Well, in his family, you didn't open presents until Christmas Day. Christmas Eve was off limits, and like everybody else did it on Christmas Eve, so it was always this kind of like manic back and forth depending on which house we were at,
right.
We were opening presents or not. And so we'd arrive at grandma's house on Christmas Eve. Presents were off limits till the morning. They'd let me open one present.
That's what I do. One present on Christmas Eve.
You can open one present. I'd run to the tree and I'd grab one and I'd pull it out. And I'd be like, this one? And they're like, yeah. And I'd open it up and it would be clothes. Or socks or some crap. And it's like, you knew. You knew what was in that box.
What you doing?
You knew what was in that box. I know what's in every one of those boxes that I've wrapped. I know. If my daughter goes and like picks it up and it's like, I want to open this. And I'm like, yeah, that's the present that sucks.
My kids were the one gift they get for Christmas Eve. I make sure it's a good one, something they're going to like.
And then my uncle, I don't know if, well, he was also, I guess, he was a teenager, but, you know, it's like 19, 20, whatever. He would take he'd take an hour to get ready. He's like, oh, I gotta take a shower. Oh, I gotta get dressed. Oh, I gotta, you know. And like now, I'm like, what were you doing in there, man? Like, it just seemed forever. And we'd finally tear into presents and I'd like have like glorious Christmas full of Transformers. But imagine if you looked over at that Christmas tree and you knew now you now knew that that under that tree was at least 20 G1 Transformers for you, and probably a bunch of He-Man guys too, and somebody sat there like poking at you, making you wait, you'd grow up bitter and
well, no doubt, man. That would not be good for mental stability growing up. Sure.
So what did your family do to you? You said you like couldn't. You Christmas Day was the day.
We were Christmas Day was the day as far as gifts go. Day before we could open up one is the way it usually worked. Oh, yeah. So that's how I do it now with the kids. But like I said, I always make sure that there's something they could enjoy for the night and everything, and they won't be too disappointed in it. So they would just wait. It wasn't easy growing up, that's for damn sure. But normally, though, the presents weren't under the tree. You hide everything and then bring it out later. So
I have basically, so like what we would do is, and I'm pretty perceptive. My parents were really good at it. My dad enjoyed being Santa Claus. Like, he just learned. He enjoyed being Santa Claus, or like Santa Claus was real. Because he did some sleight of hand that was like in freaking incredible. But we'd go to grandma's house for Christmas. So we'd leave like on the 23rd, 24th, something like that. Santa doesn't come until Christmas Eve, Christmas Day. So we'd go to grandma's house, open presents, whatever. We'd get home a couple days later, and there would be Santa had come. And it would be like, you know. And Santa never wrapped anything. It was just...
Yeah, we just normally just put... The Santa gifts all only had a bow on them. That was it.
Yeah. So, you know, we'd get back and it'd be Santa stuff. And remember this one year, we got back from Grandma's house, and I don't know, it had to have been a couple of weeks later. Like, I don't think the Christmas tree was gone. Like, everything was all cleaned up, and we were just... I'm playing Star Wars Guys, and I'm on the couch, and you know, whenever you're little and spry and you can just kind of like fall back, and you know, that's probably like 7 or 8 years old, like fall back behind the couch and the side table there, and like where I should have been able to fall and like hit my shoulder and roll onto the floor, I fell on something and it kind of poked my shoulder and I fell over. I picked it up and it was Jabba the Hutt. Remember the place
yet? Yeah. Jabba?
I'm sitting here behind the table, like the behind the table and the couch. Like, there's no vantage point. Like, I can see, like, mom can't see me if she comes out. Like, what is this doing here? But I'm the only person in the house that would care about this thing. It's got to be from me. You know, it's got to be for me.
Right.
So I remember taking it out to my mom and being like, is this for me? And she's like, oh, yeah, that's for you. You know, Santa left it here. You know, like, so yeah, it was like in January or February, I got my Santa gifts. And it was like, good stuff.
It's an Easter egg.
Good old Return of the Jedi. Saw that in the theater with my cousin.
Me too. So my cousin Mark. It's a great movie, man. Yeah, that was a good one. All the Star Wars movies are just classics, bro.
The first three weren't. Right? Well, the original three.
The original three.
The prequels were not good.
Yeah. This, when I speak Star Wars, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you got to. We'll do an episode on Star Wars, and I'll point out everything that's wrong with it that the internet doesn't even point out. Like, I've watched those, like, long YouTube videos where they're like, this is wrong, this is wrong. I'm like, you're missing the point. It's like, nobody wanted to see this. They wanted to see Rogue One, which was phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
No spoilers, there's no spoilers to be had. You know what happens.
I know where the movie takes place and everything.
It happens shortly before that. That Star Destroyer catches Princess Leia's ship in episode 4. Phenomenal movie. Good stuff.
I mean, I've heard it's a...
It's a well-made movie, and they do everything right. My wife does not like Star Wars. Strangely enough, if you've ever seen The Big Bang Theory, and he's like, "Oh, you don't watch Star Wars? We'll watch these." And then she's like, "Eh." That was literally my wife did that. She's like, "Eh. I don't really see what's the big deal." Like, oh God, I love you in every other way but this. But she liked this one and okay. Rogue One. It's good stuff. Hey guys, we're gonna have to let you go for Christmas. This one's been going for a while. We've got a little bit too much brunette going on.
Yeah. So
we're gonna go ahead and cut it off at this point. So hey everybody, you got 4 days, 4 or 5 days till New Year's. Drive safe. Don't drive. Eat a bunch of food. Take naps. Yeah. Don't go places.
For New Year's, what do you eat? Do you do traditional stuff?
Honestly, we do. Netflix has an 8 p.m. Countdown ball drop. So you can turn it on, and we drop the ball at 8 and put the kids to bed, and then party with the neighbors.
Okay.
It's pajama party. Everybody's just kind of like ready to go to bed, you right. know. We've done that the last couple of years, and that's what we do. We pop fireworks out here in the front yard.
And New Year's Day, any traditional meals or anything?
Not really.
Every year, cabbage, black eyed peas. I do it every year. My kids look forward to this.
So. I can't eat black eyed peas, man. They like make me do what I just I'm coughing. But I usually will. I'll grill something or smoke something or.
Yeah.
I try to go deep southern. I can't do black eyed peas. I think my parents used to force me to eat that shit. I just can't do it.
Whatever your traditions are, make sure you go ahead and enjoy them. Have a safe New Year's Day.
Have very safe the rest of the holidays and into the winter. As always, we're gonna quickly plug it. You're listening to the Scary Dad Podcast. Like us, share us, tweet us,
subscribe.
Instagram us, subscribe us, tell your friends about us, and that's it. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Keep it scary.
Later.